see what's brewing. The Milwaukee Brewers.
Ah, the Brewers. We'll be talking about the Brewers with a couple of guys who know a whole lot about the Brewers and talk about it on their podcast quite a bit as well. And I'm looking forward to talking to Paul Noonan and Ryan Topp in just a minute, but Jennifer Dargan stepped back in because it's the last day of our spring member drive, and she wants to tell you that your contribution keeps this program and WPR strong. $10 a month, $100 a month, every gift, any amount makes a big difference because the largest share of our funding for programs comes from people just like you. You can donate now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and we have actually have a match coming.
Mm-hmm. We have a match right now. So if you were putting things off, put it off no longer, because we have a dollar for dollar match up to $2,000. And this generous match is from John and Marionette in memory of his wife, Mary Ellen. And it means that he'll match every dollar that you give.
His way of encouraging you to support Wisconsin Public Radio so you can double your support right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You might have heard that funding for public media has been in the news recently, and we want you to know that while all funding is important, voluntary listener contributions make up the largest and most reliable source of funding for WPR.
And that means your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. And now that you know how important you are, make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yeah, you are very important to us. And I would imagine WPR is probably pretty important to you. Maybe it's a preset in your car radio, or maybe in your house too, or maybe both. You probably listen to WPR a lot. So we're asking you to step up, help pay for the station that you enjoy so much. Become a member today.
And make that switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a gift, $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
And you can give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. This is our spring member drive. I'm Larry Mueller with Jennifer Dargan, and listener support's the biggest source of our funding. And that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has a big impact.
And we know you value your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. You just tell us your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Very quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a couple of minutes to support the station you count on, and just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You might think about, what do you spend $10 on? Maybe goodies at the cafe, or maybe an app on your phone or a book or something like that. These are all things that you spend your money on because it makes your life better. And just like Wisconsin Public Radio, with a gift of $10 a month, you can make a difference for the public service that you rely on.
And when you support WPR, you join a community, tens of thousands of people, actually, who give what they can for the programs they value. Join in now. Give $10 a month or whatever amount's right for you. Every gift is powerful, for sure, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we have a generous dollar-for-dollar match available right now. Your donation of any amount will be doubled. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR is going to go twice as far.
And if you put $20 a month in, you could add that WPR T-shirt to your wardrobe. But Jennifer and I are both going to be sporting WPR T-shirts at some point as soon as they arrive. Kind of a cool-looking shirt. I'd say it's cream-colored. It's got a lavender, I called it a bullseye at first, but it's a big lavender circle, and inside it you've got the state flower, the muskie, the state fish, and a whole bunch more. Yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You joke, but we used to coordinate our outfits for member drives. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
We heard from Catherine in Oshkosh who said WPR is well worth my contribution. Do you agree with her? If so, you can step up and get your contribution doubled right now.
Where do you go? You go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, and thank you very much. We're going to turn our attention to the Brewers with a couple of guys who spend a lot of time thinking about the Brewers and even more time probably talking about the Brewers. Our guest, Paul Noonan. Paul, good to see you. I'm not hearing you, but I'm seeing you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Ryan Topp, the other guy. Ryan, good to see you.
Good to see you again, Larry. Always love coming on.
Paul and Ryan are hosts of Milwaukee's Tailgate Brewers podcast. Really cool podcast. I've listened to it. And they talk about their predictions for the rest of the Brewers season, maybe. They talk about all kinds of things relating to the Brewers. They get into the Packers once in a while, too, I notice. But the Brewers are their main thing. And as I talk with them, I hope you'll join in. When did you become a Brewers fan, maybe? What do you think about the Brewers and their season so far this year? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. Well, here we are in, I guess you could say the first third of the season? 30-some games in now, isn't it, Paul?
About that, yeah. That's about where we're heading. A little short of that, I think. But
yeah, and it's a little different from last year.
I think that's correct. I think it is a little different from last year. I think the Brewers have benefited for the last several years from a truly weak division and by having a really deep and solid foundation across the board team-wise. And while they've been hit by the injury bug occasionally, like losing Christian Yelich and Devin Williams punching a wall and things like that, this season is different because, A, the Cubs are, I think, juggernauts for the first time in quite a while, and B, the Brewers have been hit by the injury bug very hard, especially in the pitching staff, which is compounded a little bit by having a little bit less depth than they usually do. Offensively, they have a big hole at third base. Some guys that they were counting on stepping up haven't. And pitching, they're just kind of behind the eight ball because they lost like five starters immediately out of the gate. So this is different. Haven't done this before.
Oh, my goodness. And Ryan, and Tobias Myers was one of those guys. He was out for the first pitcher out for the first month. He did a pretty good job last night, I think.
I was at the game last night, and he was quite good. One of his better starts that I've seen, kind of up there with his start against Detroit last year, where he went 8 shutout. And so, but that was one of his best starts, and he is really, really important for them. He is one of their best young pitchers and one of the most important guys going forward, too, because he's under team control for another 4 years after this one. So they really need him, might even be 5. So they really need him to get on track. And he had a rough one last week at Chicago against that White Sox team that is one of the worst teams we've seen in a very long time. Last year, they were setting records for futility last year. They're better this year, but not great. And he was only able to get through 2 innings against them. And it raised some alarm bells also on the managerial side because the manager reacted very strongly, which is a thing he has really been doing early this season. And we talked about that quite a bit on our last show that it's raising some concerns for us, too.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Pat Murphy's been really aggressive early on. I mean, he's isn't he? He's holding some closed door meetings with players, Paul.
He is. He is. One of our big concerns, I think, with Pat, maybe not, I won't speak for Ryan, I'll speak for me alone. One of my big concerns with Pat Murphy is he is much more of an old-timey manager, and that can work, especially if you are a good communicator in the clubhouse and you run a tight ship, which the tight ship part I'm not worried about. But Craig Counsell was a very effective implementer of strategies from on high, from the front office, from the analytics division, getting buy-in from all the players to do things that they wouldn't necessarily always think to do or be comfortable with. I think with Murphy, you lose a little bit of that. I think he shoots from the hip a little bit more than Counsell did. He is much more into his gut than Counsell was. And as long as you have the clubhouse, that's fine. But some of his moves have been unorthodox. Some of them, I'm sure, have rubbed players the wrong way. And closed-door meetings only go so far before they start to lose their effectiveness and have the opposite of their intended effect. You know, he's kind of a gruff guy, like a good sense of humor. He's a good interview, but I wouldn't want to be in too many closed door meetings with Pat Murphy myself. And I do think that it's something to keep an eye on as we go forward here, because Counsell, honestly, was one of the best just win producing managers in the game. It's why the Cubs ponied up for him. And I think Murphy is much more of a just kind of averagey by the numbers manager and could go south if this act gets stale.
Yeah, that's a big question. Oh, and yeah, that's a big question as to, is the act going to get stale? Is he going to wear out his welcome on that? We haven't seen too many indications of it so far. And I think that Murphy has been careful so far. When he benched a few players for poor play in St. Louis a couple weekends ago, they were his guys. They were players that we all know he really likes and are kind of his core guys. When we put Caleb Durbin and Sal Frelick on the bench. And so I think that that was a recognition on his part that he needed to be careful about those sorts of things. And he is sort of known as a tough love manager, but also he does communicate very well with the players. The players seem to have his back at this point. There doesn't seem to be a rift opening up there, but you do worry about the possibility of it happening if the season goes south. I think last year, things stay pretty happy. This is in sports in general. The clubhouse tends to stay pretty harmonious when the team is winning. And so far this year, they haven't been winning as much as they did last year. They're a 500 team as we speak today. And so it's sort of a question of what it's going to look like long term if the team does go south. Will Murphy be able to make those adjustments? Can he handle sort of adjusting to a team that may not be doing that well? But we don't know what they're going to be like. So that all sort of remains to be seen.
Yeah. Talking with Paul Noonan and Ryan Topp, they are hosts of Milwaukee's Tailgate Brewers podcast. And certainly looking forward to hearing from you with your own questions or comments as we move along today. There's some questions there. And we have a couple of questions during our spring member drive as well. Jennifer Dargan joining back in. Listener support. Time to think about it right now, this last day of the drive. Listener support is the largest source of our funding. A gift right now of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes WPR the reliable source that it is. Programs you enjoy every day. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And now is a great time to donate because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect. This match was offered by John and Marionette in memory of his wife, Mary Ellen, and there is still room for you to get in on this match for your gift to be doubled. So step up with your support for WPR programs right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your gift's going to have an even greater impact.
You know, we do a sports program maybe once a month or so, and I always love to have Paul Noonan and Ryan Topp on when it's time to talk about the Brewers. They've got this great podcast, Milwaukee's Tailgate Brewers Podcast, and they know a lot, and they've watched the team. And we have a lot of WPR listeners who are big Brewers fans, so it's kind of fun to talk about them once in a while. And we're listener supported, and that means when you give. at WPR.org, or you phone 888-202-2552. You make this hour and many more hours possible, so please choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
A great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. I'd say that's kind of like getting season tickets for the Brewers. As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
Many people give $10 or $20 a month, and you get to choose whatever amount's right for you. You can become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Do you have a WPR t-shirt collection? Or do you see others wearing a WPR t-shirt and wish you had one? Either way, you'll want our 2025 t-shirt, available now. This shirt features Wisconsin's beloved symbols.
A badger.
A muskie.
A robin.
And Wisconsin Public Radio, of course. Ask for your t-shirt when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. Your support during our drive makes the news. These conversations that we have on the Larry Mueller Show makes them all possible. And your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
Our spring member drive ends at 6 o'clock, and that still leaves a little bit of time, but not much, to cast your vote in favor of Wisconsin Public Radio and the Larry Mueller Show. Takes just a couple minutes. Make your gift right now.
As a matter of fact, there's about 37 minutes or so left in this program, which is the last time you'll get a chance to contribute during our program. And, you've probably, many people have already contributed, and certainly thanks for that. If you haven't given yet, take this opportunity right now at WPR.org. Just go ahead and phone 888-202-2552.
And when you do that and you make a donation, you will get twice as much bang for your buck, because we have this dollar-for-dollar match going on. It's such a great time to give. WPR.org is a place to do it, or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget about the t-shirts. we got a whole series of these, and I've got, I think, everyone ever made.
The t-shirt drawer is full of WPR.
Not one drawer. We're talking three drawers that are nothing but WPR t-shirts, because I've often wound up with two or three of the same one. And I like that. And this one's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to getting mine. You can ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We heard from Sherry in Madison, who donated and said, "The Larry Mueller Show is a great program for learning and enjoyment." I couldn't agree more. How about you? Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you. We are talking Brewers baseball right now. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Ryan Topp and Paul Noonan. They host Milwaukee's Tailgate Brewers podcast. And if you have a thought about the Brewers, or maybe a question about them, or maybe about just going to the games, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I've watched a lot of games, but I haven't been to a live game yet this year. And I'm really eager to kind of get over there, Ryan, and see what it looks like. You know, if you haven't been to a game in a long time, there's some big differences out there.
Yeah, this year they've done even more with adding local food options, some smaller places. They have what are called food trucks out in left field, though it's actually, they're more permanent stands. They're not actual food trucks they wheeled in. But they have some good things out there. I've enjoyed going over there before games. I've been to 8 now. I'm 5-3 in the games I've been to. So I'm doing okay so far in the games I've attended. But yeah, I usually make a trip over to that area, and there's also the other the other food area out in right field on the second deck that also has some local options. So it's good if you're going to the park and you don't want the standard ballpark fare. Sometimes that's fine, but yeah. I appreciate having the variety to get different things.
And Paul had this, the viewing, that screen is brand new, and that's what I'm really excited to see as well.
So I should disclose, I have not gotten to a game yet. I'm a little further away than Ryan, and I've been busy. I went to the NFL draft, so I've been making my ways around. But the scoreboard, the new additional scoreboard in Wrights is new. It was installed last year just for additional place to put information, an additional way to generate a little extra revenue with advertisements. That's one where I'm kind of like, I'm fine with that being there, but I don't think it frankly adds that much. I know everybody wants to cram a scoreboard in every part of every stadium that they have, but it is what it is. The big front one is good enough for my taste.
I had chance to seat several times in Bud Selig's box, and he's got, you know, even though that's a pretty nice box, I can tell you that. But there's plenty of viewing, television viewing, even in his box. I'm losing my voice here for a second. You know, I want to go back to pitching for just a minute, and then I want to talk about the middle of the Brewers' batting lineup. The pitching, you know, what do we got? We got a kind of a mix of veterans and rookies. I think they've done a pretty good job, Ryan, filling the gaps created by all the injuries.
Yeah, the starting staff has been really the strength of this team, which you would not expect based on that's where all the injuries have been. And that really is highlighted by Freddie Peralta as having, so far, maybe his best season to date as a major league player. And he, I guess we sort of overlook him a little bit, take him for granted a little bit, because of their old three aces that they had, Corbin Burnes, Brandon Woodruff, who's working his way back as we speak, and Freddie Peralta. Freddie's the only one that's currently on the team, but he has been a stalwart and has been everything you could have hoped for. And then a signing that they made late in spring training, Jose Quintana, who has tormented the Brewers for years when he was on the Chicago Cubs. He just has tormented them for years, has been a wonderful veteran addition. And he's not flashy. He doesn't strike a lot of batters out, but he generates a ton of weak contact. And the Brewers' defense, which has been a little shaky early, but still is overall pretty good because they have a lot of guys who can move real quickly and are athletic, has done a really good job. And so those two veterans have allowed a bunch of younger guys, your Chad Patricks, your Quinn Priesters, even Logan Henderson, some of those guys, to be able to bat in and not have to face the pressure of being the guy. And it's worked remarkably well.
Yeah, I've been amazed at, you know, how do these guys step up? I mean, guys you've never heard of suddenly are doing wondrous things out there.
Yeah, the Brewers pitching lab is second to none. It is perhaps along with the Rays, the best pitching development place that you could possibly be in Major League Baseball. They are phenoms at figuring out exactly what every pitcher's best and most efficient pitch should be. They tweak things to get the most out of them. They're good at telling guys in a nice way, stop throwing that. That one's not working. You have two good pitches, throw two good pitches. You don't need to throw four or five. And they are always on the hunt for reclamation projects and guys who maybe could have their career saved by a little tweak. They're also very good at that. So it is an area that the Brewers are happy to churn through and not re-sign people like Devin Williams, because they're confident they can always produce the next 100-mile-an-hour guy or a guy with an amazing changeup. And they have Trevor McGill, who's been quite good, and they've had Abner Uribe waiting for quite a while now too, who throws in the hundreds and you know, as long as he can command the ball, is like the closer in waiting. So they always have that benefit, and that keeps paying dividends. It's really the bats, I think, that we need to focus on in terms of getting this team to the next level.
Yeah. You know, I was trying to remember where I saw it. Somebody did a survey of, like, the general managers and asked which are the best. Ryan, are you familiar with that?
Yeah, it was The Athletic went and did a survey of all of the front offices And they found that, so this was the opinions of people who work in the game. They had the Brewers as being the third best organization behind the Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yes, yeah.
And what's funny about that is the Dodgers are run by the former Rays executive, Andrew Friedman, and the Brewers are run by Matt Arnold, who was a former Rays executive. So the Rays basically dominate the top line there completely of having all the best. And so the Brewers did a good job of going and getting good people to run this team. And that's why they've been so successful. And we're in this run of really a decade of sort of unprecedented success for the franchise.
Just create a lot of them said that sort of there's a culture there that just keeps, regardless. I mean, you're every year we lose somebody great, the Brewers do, and yet somebody comes in to fill in the hole. And it's just the culture, it seems like, that many people were commenting on.
I think the culture is one of all of the different units of the organization working seamlessly together. There are definitely a lot of teams where the front office is at odds with on-field staff. It's less common than it used to be. It used to be actually quite common. And just with ownership not necessarily knowing where to invest in other teams. I think the Brewers have done sort of an old-school Moneyball type thing of identifying where they can still generate value, which is definitely in pitching, in arms, especially in the idea that even if a guy can't be a starting pitcher and they can't develop three pitches, they can almost always develop two and get relief value out of that guy. And they're so good at leveraging their relievers in effective ways more than everybody else. But everybody is on the same page from ownership down to on-field personnel to like the hitting philosophy, the pitching philosophy of the organization. And that's hard to do. People like to have their independence and their silos in an organization, and the Brewers do not really have that. So it's hard to instill, but it is kind of the Rays way, and it does tend to work whenever a Rays guy gets to be in charge.
Well, let's take a look at some of the individual players. And, of course, Jackson Chourio comes to mind. He is showing some flashes of the superstar they hope he will become. I gave him the largest contract ever for a minor leaguer, but he's not yet consistent.
Yeah, so what we've noticed with Chourio so far this year is he's incredibly aggressive and he's swinging a lot. And we saw it in spring training. He didn't hardly take any walks, but he hit about 500. And that was just because he could put everything in play. So he was happy to do that. Once he started facing the pitching in the regular season, he was making good contact and hitting the ball, but it took him almost, I think it was 3 weeks, Paul, or so, to get his first walk of the season.
Yes.
And that's not ideal. That's not exactly what you want, but he is so young, and so he just turned 21 a couple months ago, and so he is so young and still developing that he's kind of learning what he needs to do. He'll learn patience. He's not walking as much as he did last year. He'll learn that as we go. But it is so exciting to watch a guy grow the way he has grown. Last year especially, he was off to a very rough first couple months. There was talk of demotion. And then for the rest of the year, he was one of the best hitters in the National League from June onward. And it's really, really exciting to get to watch that. And it's a treat. It's a privilege. And it makes you think of somebody like Robin Yount, who he took some time too, actually way more time than what Chourio has taken to find his footing. But it's kind of a treat to have that in the organization.
Yeah, I think this year Chourio has almost been a victim of his own success because he did start off the season basically hitting everything hard that he swung at, whether it was in or out of the zone. Pitchers are good at adjusting, and so they've started making, throwing him out of the zone pitches a little bit more, generating weak contact. And we know he can adjust back and take walks. He did that last year. I really just think it is still this. It takes a little time to realize that you've been figured out, that you need to go back to the drawing board a little bit and stop hacking at things outside the zone and wait for what you can actually drive. And he'll get there. He's shown the ability to do it before.
I was trying to remember that first, the first series, the opening series against the Yankees. I think he and Yount were swinging away and not hitting anything, if I'm remembering that right.
I think in game one of the season, Churio went 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts.
I remember watching that. And that, of course, was the infamous the torpedo bats with the Yankees. They were just blasting it all over the place. Are there a lot of players that are using those torpedo bats? Which are, I mean, explain what they are first, maybe.
Yeah, so what the torpedo bats are is somebody has simply taken and moved the sweet spot of the bat down a little bit from the end of the barrel to a little bit closer to where the hands are. And so the bat is a little bit of a, it's almost like a bowling pin shape, if you can think of it that way, that it fattens out a little bit in the middle, not nearly as pronounced as a bowling pin, but sort of that general idea. And it was to move the sweet spot of the bat where you want the batter to make contact a little bit further down so that they could drive the ball. And it was the talk of that first series. The Yankees hit 15 home runs in that series, and everybody panicked. Everybody, including we were talking about it. It was quite the story. And now torpedo bats have sort of, they're all over the league. There are multiple Brewers using them. I believe Rhys Hoskins got his, and I believe Jackson Churio actually was just spotted this weekend using a torpedo bat. Mm-hmm. And so it turned out to be a bit of a tempest in a teapot, and we all sort of overreacted to it. I think Paul was better about not overreacting to it than I was. I think I fell for that one. It was a wild story because the Yankees, just that first series, everything they touched went out of the park, and you felt shell-shocked after one weekend. You thought, wow, what is happening here? And fortunately, things have settled down a lot since then. They've had one of the best pitching staffs in baseball since that time, but that first weekend was just an eye-opener of epic proportions.
Yeah, and the bats, they probably do convey a marginal advantage over conventional bats. That sweet spot location is also customizable to a player and where he actually makes good contact and turning it into great contact, but that was definitely overblown. As it turns out, the Yankees are just an outstanding hitting team. I mean, it's just a really good lineup. We saw kind of the same thing with the Cubs. The Cubs and the Yankees have so far the two best lineups in baseball. That's not true. Yeah, that is right. They're both nine war hitting lineups so far. And so that was also in Yankee Stadium, a teeny tiny little stadium where it's easy for anybody to hit home runs. And so we did overreact. But they are, I do think, helpful. And they will also probably help certain kinds of hitters more. And I'm anxious to see a couple of the Brewers hitters who are sort of the good contact guys who maybe are a little lacking in power. Guys like Turang and Sal Frelick, who have kind of turned it around a little bit this year power-wise. I think those bats can help those guys quite a bit more by turning what would be average power into good power. So something to keep an eye on with the torpedo bats.
Paul Noonan and Ryan Topp, who are the owners and hosts of Milwaukee's Tailgate Brewers podcast, our guests. Fun having them on today on the show during our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. And Jennifer Dargan steps back in to help me talk about your gift. Any amount, it really makes a difference.
It does. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that means your support funds this program, as well as everything else on WPR that you count on and you listen to day in, day out. So we are inviting you to give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We just made that dollar-for-dollar match, so thanks to everybody who's contributed. John and Marinette, thank you so much for that contribution in memory of your wife, Mary Ellen. You know what? We're not out of time, and
Let's keep the momentum up. Thank you so much, John. We appreciate that challenge, but we're kind of on a roll here.
Yeah,
it's the last day of a drive.
It's the last day, and I hope you'll take advantage of the fact that you still have time to vote during the Larry Mueller Show here for good radio programs. And how do you do it? Well, you go to WPR.org and make a contribution, or you can phone 888-202-2552.
In a single month, there are hundreds of discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio. And gosh, how many of those are Larry is participating in and prepping for and, you know, sharing that knowledge with you? There is so much to learn, So many interesting people to meet and topics to discover. And when you support WPR with a donation, you are the one who's making all of that possible. Take that simple and really powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And sometimes you actually get more than you pay for. And I think WPR is one place where that's true every day. You might consider a gift of $2 a day to support the programs you love.
Yeah, you can't get much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day will make a lot of these conversations possible. It works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I started donating quite a few years ago. I took the plunge. It was the first thing that I had ever done with the sustaining type of membership. It was painless, and so I've just continued. I trust Wisconsin Public Radio. I also trust them to use my money wisely. I'm Bea Liebel from Merrill, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you, Bea. And you can do that. Do what she suggests. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during our drive.
I think it's a great business move.
And, you know, there's always so many people
chiming in
talk about Wisconsin Public Radio,
yep.
And they can't help themselves. Jeff's got to battle them down to keep them from talking. You know what? We try to have a lot of fun on the show, along with giving you some good information. And I'm telling you right now, if you've never given to WPR.org, you ought to do it. And here's what to expect. It's a very short process. Get on the phone. It takes a couple of minutes on the phone. It takes you a minute or two if you go online to do it. You answer some basic questions, your name and address, the amount of your gift, and what you'd like to pay.
That's it. That's easy. And then you can make your first donation to WPR. And you know what? You're going to feel good about it because listener support is such a big part of what makes WPR happen. And that listener we just heard from, Larry, was talking about that she trusts WPR, and
yeah.
We don't take that for granted. You know, we work really hard to make sure we can sustain that trust. So if you want to be part of this, many first-time donors give $10 a month or $120. The amount is completely up to you. You can take care of it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I'd think about that $10 or $20 a month or more, mm-hmm. if it's at all possible, because then you get the WPR t-shirt.
Yep.
To your and we've talked about it. It's kind of cream colored. It's got a big lavender circle on the front with all of the things you love about Wisconsin, the fish, the flowers, the animals. All yours for $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You can pop over to our website to see an image of it, and then you can make your donation while you're
right
there.
Right, while you're there.
And maybe become a sustaining member while you're there. It's really easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from either your bank account or your credit card. You can get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Having some fun talking Brewers baseball today with Ryan Topp and Paul Noonan, the host of Milwaukee's Tailgate Brewers Podcast. And you can join in with your own questions, comments, experience to share. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Glenn emailed, are the Brewers doing anything to prevent a situation like the fan who fell at PNC Park in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, so they have done some renovations over the years. They've raised some of the railings, especially at the end of aisles. I've noticed that. Yeah. My wife and I were actually talking about that just last night when we were at the game. When our friends brought up that incident in Pittsburgh, they've definitely raised some railings. And so it is higher. There are spots. I've been to many stadiums. I've been to about half of the current big league parks. And I've never felt truly uncomfortable at the Milwaukee Stadium. I've been in some where I didn't feel like the railings were high enough, and I worried about that in a way that I don't so much in Milwaukee. But yeah, it's a scary thing. Watching that happen was really frightening, and it's not the first time that it's happened. And Milwaukee has had an incident in the past with a fan falling over the right field wall. So it's something that I think everybody is concerned about.
Yeah, I can remember a few. The Brewers, the park itself seems fairly straight, safe. I can remember the old Pittsburgh park. That goes back 20 years or 25 years. I wasn't crazy about that one, for sure. That person, by the way, did that person? I haven't heard anything about if they what happened to him in the end.
Last I heard, ICU. So it's an unfortunate situation, I think.
Oh man. Pat in Milwaukee, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Pat.
Aloha, Larry and guests. Just want your guests to tell the free giveaway days that the Brewers are having, including the cribbage board day. And if you do come to Milwaukee, Larry, we'll get in touch.
Oh, Pat, a cribbage board day. What day is cribbage board? You guys are going to, Jeff, you're probably looking feverishly looking at your ride. Do you know? May 17th. Oh my goodness! A Brewers cribbage board. You know, these giveaways are a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that one is it's an ongoing story. There are a couple of announcers, Jeff Levering and Vinny Rotino, who do a lot of the TV broadcasts.
Yes.
Not all of them, but a lot of them. They have a running cribbage match on the road, and they've been playing for a couple of years now. And so they decided to do this cribbage board giveaway. My wife, we have a partial season ticket package. My wife and I do. And we made sure to get tickets for that day in our group because we wanted to make sure we got the cribbage board. We want to have that. So it looks fun. It looks like it'll be a cool thing to have. Nice souvenir.
Yeah.
I feel like, go ahead.
So mostly it's bobbleheads, jerseys, things like that. But I feel like there's one like really creative one every year. And it's definitely the cribbage board this year. Like they've had the Euchre alarm clock in the past. Like that's my favorite one that I've ever gotten all time. And I feel like that's the one that you want to really make time to get when you are picking out your giveaway days.
Yeah, I've got the Euchre one where he does the get up, get out of here, go on. I love that one. I was a funny thing. I forget what bobblehead was giving. It was a Cubs day, and there was I forget the Brewer bobblehead. But anyway, there were some enterprising folks who were going over to the Chicago side of the field and buying up the bobbleheads from the Cubs people who didn't really care. And, you know, for a few bucks, there were a couple of guys that just had arms full of these bobbleheads. And they were planning, I'm sure, to sell them on eBay or something later on.
Sure, that's the case. I know a lot of people will just buy multiple tickets to those games, go in, get a bobblehead, go out, circle back in, and get like four or five or six that way.
Oh, man. You know, just thinking about baseball in general, you know, we got the Dodgers and the Mets. They gave out over $1 billion in contracts over the winter, and of course they're both off to pretty good starts this season, but there's another work stoppage looming.
Yeah, unfortunately, the next CBA ends after the 2026 season, and everybody is sort of preparing for, once again, another labor stoppage, and people are talking about this one. The last one, it went into spring training, but they were able to get the season started. I think they maybe bumped it back a week or something.
Yeah.
They were able to really avoid cutting into the season. People are not nearly so optimistic this time. The owners seem to be once again getting themselves ready to try for a salary cap. They're the only sport in North America, the major men's North American sports, that doesn't have a salary cap of any sort. And they seem bound and determined to get it this time. And so we will see if that results, because the union has steadfastly said that they will not accept a salary cap. That has been a longstanding thing for them. So it looks like we're headed to a big labor battle once again.
Oh, well, on that unhappy note, keep watching. And guys, I hope you'll come back and be with me again. I hope so.
Oh, yeah. Always happy to.
Okay. Ryan Topp and Paul Noonan, hosts of Milwaukee's Tailgate Brewers podcast. It's great to have them come by and talk about the Brewers, and we'll get them next time when we're not in one of our pledge drives. We're, by the way, on the last day of our pledge drive, Jennifer Dargan back with me, and listener donations, the largest source of our funding. If you've been meaning to give, this would be a good time to do it, because the drive ends at 6 o'clock. This program ends in 5 minutes, so do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
No time like the present. We would really love to see your donation come through in the next 5 minutes here in support of the Larry Mueller Show. And you can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Fun talking baseball today with Ryan and Paul. And we do sports once in a while, but we try to give you a pretty broad range of topics. We do the environment, we do the outdoors, we do a lot on health. I have many authors, about 50 a year. We'll do about 50 books a year that I'll read for the show. And we're listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. You make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
Yep, you can pick whatever amount works for you. Maybe you want to do $15 or $20 a month, or maybe how about $50 a month for all those 50 books that Larry reads to prep for all the shows, or whatever amount is right for you. You can set that up on your credit or debit card, or better yet, right from your bank account. It's what we call a sustaining gift. It sustains us at Wisconsin Public Radio. And the beauty of it is that you don't have to remember to renew your support every year.
I kind of like that $50 idea. And I read every one of those books.
I know you do. I've been on the elevator with people who said, he really read that book. Because probably all the WPR hosts too, but probably not when authors are out on tour, probably not all the people that they're talking to have read the book. They might skim the table of contents, but...
And when you're interviewing somebody for an hour about a book they've written, you want to have read the book. You want to have read the book, or you're going to sound pretty stupid, at least I would. So I have to read the whole thing. Your support. Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We're asking you to support the quality programs you value here on WPR with your gift right now during our drive. Really makes a difference for the entire community. We kind of live in a generous society, I think.
I think we do. I mean, our listeners prove it to us every time we have a drive, and we can continue that tradition right now. We've got 3 minutes left here of this program. If you've never given before, this is your time. Step up right now. You'll be funding the programs that you and everyone else in Wisconsin benefits from every day. Maybe give $10 a month if that works for you. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'd still think of the $20 in order to get the T-shirt.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. That is a great suggestion.
That is, let the world know you're a WPR fan. It's a purple and orange Wisconsin-themed design on a cream-colored shirt. So ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552. We have a lot of fun on this program. We do a lot of thinking about our shows. We talk about our shows. We got like five people on our team, kind of, and it's all important to us. I hope it's important to you, this service. If it is, go to WPR.org right now and make a contribution, or do it by calling 888-202-2552. For Jennifer Dargan, I'm Larry Mueller, and thank you so much for listening.